be shocked about the things that go on around us, but I still do get that way. But to think about Yahweh and about His Word, you can really, really trust in Him. We can get faith by hearing Yahweh's Word. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 5:13. As we think about the ecumenical conglomerate giant, all the way from the teacher there in the schools teaching the children how to follow that one way, that one world government, one world religion. Of course, they're not going to talk about religion so much, but that's the start of their training there, is in public schools. Then it goes on to higher education, so-called, and through our government, through our media, and churches. There are just too many influences out there to, we really need to be on guard and cut out the outside world, the non-essentials, and walk in Yahweh's Torah. Not to save us, but as the evidence of a saved believer. And the evidence is there in the Word. We have more than enough evidence here to convict us. What is wrong with that ecumenical movement? We need to be exclusive, not inclusive. So 1 Corinthians 5:13, and we're not going to go to every single scripture, but there are about a dozen of them in the newer scriptures, the so-called New Testament, which we can be admonished to stay away from the giant ecumenical movement. And we're going to move on to another subject after that, quickly, like being unleavened. It says here in 5:13, 1 Corinthians, "But them that are without Yahweh judges, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person." So we're talking about separating even from people who are unruly in our congregation, and, you know, by their lifestyle, their example, that they're might pull somebody else into sin, they're pulling us. So you actually put them away from among yourselves, that wicked person. Sometimes you need to come out of that congregation because there's more of those who are into the immoral practices and teaching of immorality than there are those who are lifting up Yahweh and lifting up the Torah. Also in 1 Corinthians 11, way down to about verse 29, and we have hit a passage here in 1 Corinthians 11 talking about the Feast of Unleavened Bread and supping with Yahweh, Yahweh's supper at the Yahweh's memorial, Passover time. He says, "But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning Yahweh's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep," or have died. "For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of Yahweh, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when we come together to eat, wait one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come," Paul said there. 2 Corinthians 11, Paul also wrote a similar instruction, verse 13, 2 Corinthians 11:13, as Paul was inspired by Yahweh's Spirit to write, and as I back up there to verse 12, "But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of the Messiah. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light." Not a messenger, but an angel of light. "Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also, Satan's ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." Paul said that in 2 Corinthians 11. Let's go even closer to the issue in 2 Thessalonians. Keep turning to the right. 2 Thessalonians 3:14. To the end he may establish your hearts. What am I doing? To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in separation before Yahweh, even our Father, at the coming of the Messiah with all his saints. Oh, I see. I had 1 Thessalonians. Okay, that's why it didn't fit in with what we were just saying. 2 Corinthians or 2 Thessalonians 3:14. And it says, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, in other words, we judge him, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Oh, think of that, that we are actually being discerning. We're judging here, it tells us, such as the Messiah told us in John chapter 7, to judge righteous judgment. And if any man obey not this word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him. You can also find other similar passages of Scripture to that one in, I'm not lost here, Galatians 1:8, 2 Corinthians 6:14, Titus 3:10, and back in 1 Thessalonians 5:14. So let's go to Titus 3:10. That'd be easy. Keep turning to the right. And then there's the last one will be Ezekiel 43:7. But I don't want to confuse. So Titus 3:10. A man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. So they do practice discernment and judging in the body of Messiah. And, of course, they have to do proper judging. It has to line up with Yahweh's word, according to his word, according to his law. The law? The law of love. What is the law of love? It's his Torah. Ezekiel 43:7. As Ezekiel was inspired to write, and he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet where I will dwell, where I will tabernacle in the midst of the children of the chosen ones forever, and my separated name, shall the house of the Hebrews no more defile, neither they nor their kings, nor their kings, by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high palaces, in their setting of their threshold by my thresholds, and their posts by my posts, and the wall between me and them. They have even defiled my separated name by their abominations that they have committed. Wherefore, I have consumed them in my anger. Now let them put away their whoredom and the carcasses of their kings far from me. Well, I'd just like to do that. Give them a swift kick. And I will dwell in the midst of him, them forever. A dwelling. Got to make a note here to look that up in the concordance. I'm sure it means tabernacling as well. Well, there's not enough time for me to go to my E5 concordance right now. So I'm going to have to do that later, I guess. If you can look it up in your Strong's or E-Sword, is that it? Yahweh's Word Notebook? Then please do so. A question here is, if you were to die tonight and could talk at Yahweh's coming, what would you tell him? What would you say? Well, I'm not under law, I'm under grace. That's what the Christian would say, isn't it? We need to keep becoming unleavened throughout the year, not only during the Feast of Passover, but this entire year, every day of the year, every hour. There's times when we can't be that conscientious of obedience and love, walking in Yahweh's obedience. We can't always do that because we might be at work and trying to concentrate on a document or some financial figures or something. But for the most part, You know, when we take a break or when something irritates us, or we're under pressure, we could say, "Oh, Yahweh, I need to walk closer to you and to your commandments. I need to do it your way. Keep away from evil thoughts, evil words, from breaking your law." So what is this assembly and website about? What is it not about here on this website? It is not some lukewarm, watered-down, ear-tickling website with meaningless words which will not profit. We just gave you some tools there on what we must do. We must separate from disobedient brethren, or throw disobedient brethren out if they're in the minority. Nominal Christianity is to be avoided. There's just so much of the modern psychology and the book The Shack, things like that. It's huge. There's I cannot believe it. There is a Calvary Chapel in Tennessee that was giving away boxes of the book The Shack. So you could look to for that information. Look up thebereancall.org. Avoid nominal Christianity. But Sabbath-keeping congregations are not perfect either. Many modern Sabbath congregations are not even measuring up to their Sunday-keeping counterparts. As we're in the middle of a crisis, some people are burying their heads in the sand, symbolically. On the other hand, many Sunday-keeping, hard-studying ministers who meet on the first day of the week are very firm and strong on the law and the word. You could object and say, well, but they don't practice it, but they're teaching the law, and what are we doing? We're teaching some little thing in the book of Genesis about a genealogy. And, you know, Moses, or excuse me, Abraham's descendants and so on, which is good. We've got to do that. We've got to do our little Sabbath lesson and Sunday lessons and so on. But we better study up on what Yahweh is pleased in our doing for, you know, to have his Ruach HaKadosh, his spirit, to please him. We must be obedient, and that's what the scripture says there in the book of Acts. So some Sabbatarians are no longer measuring up. They may water down the law and say, it's just all about love, love, love. And truly it is about love if they knew the true definition of love. First John 5:2 gives us one of the central definition of love. 1 John 5:2, to keep his laws, to love him. It says that right there. I know it says it. Read it 100 times. So we like to concentrate on the things that are going to build up a believer, and to instruct and encourage and admonish and keep us refreshed in the word, and doing it Yahweh's way and not our way. To get our minds off of the material, the worldly things, the earthly possessions, and to get them onto the spiritual, onto Yahweh's things that will last forever. So that's Yahweh's will for our life, for your life and for my life, is this book here, Genesis to Revelation. That's his will for our life. Yahweh's will is that you do not disobey his Torah. See a list in Galatians 5. For the list of works of the flesh and the gifts, the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:16. Take a moment here. If my fingers can do the finding here quickly enough. Okay, I did locate it. There is a long list there of the works of the flesh. Adultery, there's so much divorce and remarriage in churches. Fornication, there's that too. Uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft. We hear about psychology and psychology being used in Christian counseling. Part of the list includes hatred, heresies, wrath, strife, railing, revelings, and such like. And then the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so on. Meekness, temperance, Oh, goodness, being like Yahweh, following him, faith. Against such there is no law. And they that are Messiahs have impaled the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. All these variances and competitions that the word discourages and warns against, we ought not to be doing that. We ought to be plunged in the Word. In the book of Exodus chapter 20, it says, remember the Sabbath, to keep it pure, to keep it separate, and to have that pure convocation, a gathering together of like-minded believers, not those who want to water down the Word and say, well, none of that really matters. What all that matters is love. What does matter is Yahweh's Word, and we want to contend with that and say, well, I've heard it before. I've heard of a Seventh-day Adventist who may have kept the Sabbath, but in other areas she was a hypocrite. What's the conclusion? Thus, I don't have to obey the Torah because she doesn't obey it. Really? And what if that Adventist woman robs a bank or lies under oath or commits some other sin? Does that give us the freedom from Yahweh's law? Or perhaps we might use as an example Jim Jones or some other person. No, they can't establish our standard for behavior. I can't do what they did. I can't follow them. But can Moses, can Paul, or the Messiah show us the way for proper conduct? Certainly. And we will follow them as his pure spirit assists us. So, Exodus 20, never buy on the Sabbath. You say, well, there's some emergencies. The oxen in the ditch, it better be a big oxen. I can't go into that. I'd like to see some greater research on the proverbial, on the scriptural oxen in the ditch. If you go back to the Torah and you see there in Exodus where your neighbor's oxen is wandering and getting away, even on the Sabbath day, that you could actually do the work that it takes to corral that beast in and protect him and give him back to his owner. But don't you keep it forever. You know, you're going to get a hold of your owner, email or something. Hey, your cow is over here wandering out in the street, so I caught him and rounded him up. He's on my property, fenced up safely. And that's what that means, but it doesn't give us the freedom and the license to just go out and buy this or that. Oh, big deal, you say. What is the big deal? Why can't you give? The big deal is, why can't you give Yahweh 1/7 of your time? There's much more information on this, but we kind of move on here a little bit. We'll come back to that some other day. I have copious notes about keeping the Sabbath on demand, but I'm afraid that if I open the notes that will kind of go on forever, and I might wander in there. Not real familiar with the notes right now. I've got enough in front of me. But no one can keep the whole law. So why did he give it to us then? Oh, to convict us and show us how bad we are, that we need the Messiah. Well, that's true too. But he also gave it to show us our conduct, our behavior, what Yahweh expects us to do. And, that's easy. For example, as a father or a mother, wouldn't you expect your child to keep the rules of the house? And wouldn't that make you happy if they did? And when they didn't do it, we have different ways of dealing with that, but we do it in the right spirit. But can one keep the whole law? Well, I suspect at the moment that all of us are not breaking the law at this very moment. And we make up our minds, we decide that we will not break any of his law, but sometimes that happens inadvertently, or due to our ignorance, and ignorance is not bliss. We must study. We are responsible for studying to see what Yahweh expects of us, of our behavior, and if we don't want to take the time to study, and we never get to it, well then we are accountable. We are responsible for having been that lax. So he gave the law to us and provided a way that we can keep it. He gave us his spirit. He gave us his spirit. Spirit wrought righteousness. He writes his laws in our hearts and minds where we can remember them, where we can keep. And we don't automatically know these things. We do need to, by faith, we need to read and hear the word. But what if this woman says, I don't keep the seventh day Sabbath? So what does she do? She doesn't even keep Sunday. She says, I keep every day. She winds up not keeping any day. Let's celebrate the Sabbath and the feast. We're not contending with this woman. She might have a hard situation there. I don't know what their situation is, but it's the Sabbath and the feast days are the most wonderful time of the year. I just really delight in Yahweh all the more when he graciously gives us the gifts of his feast days and gives us the ability to do it. We're capable of keeping a Sabbath. I mean, that's easy. People can go to church on Sunday, and that's really not a struggle. I mean, it's a struggle to get there. Sometimes the traffic on these days can be really bad. You got vacationers out there, and on the Sabbath day, everybody is out, trying to shop until they drop, and it's tough out there contending in the concrete jungle. Unless you live right next door to where you're going to church. But it's all about loving Yahweh, not loving myself. I am in love with love, or in love with my religious leader, in love with Protestantism. No, that's way off. We are in love with the Master and with his word, with his way of life, with his people who are around us. Well, we look at all of his creations and we marvel and we say, why can't they just relax and love him, and stop contending against the law? I think 1 Corinthians 11, Paul said that we have no such tradition and arguing all the time about the law, but we need to, of course, make the statement about it. We can't just ignore it and not address the issue at all. But love for Yahweh is why we study his word, why we keep his word, and I don't mean just the first two great commandments, not only the Ten Commandments, but all those 212 commandments, statutes, and judgments that include his feast days. Oh, and that is certainly not bondage. As I said many times before on the different MP3 files, and I said it in a facetious way, but how wonderful it is to go to a feast and enjoy myself at the dining tables there with the brethren, eating all these wonderful delicacies that the ladies and the guys have prepared for us. And they call, we call that bondage. But in contrast to that, you have the join the club, the easy formula for life. I mean, not that it has to be tough necessarily. Oh, I don't believe that life with Yahweh has to be tough necessarily, even though it can be that. But the easy formula is just do what they tell you to do. Keep the pagan holidays, use pagan terms for Yahweh, celebrate the winter solstice or Christ Mass. The winter solstice. These are dangers in compromising. So we do not ordinarily sit down for a good pagan Christmas dinner. We shouldn't be doing that with our relatives. I know we did, and it turned out to our destruction, or at least to in a negative way, kind of getting distracted there. The old neighbor thought he'd roll out his lawnmower here. Nothing else to do on the Sabbath? Why not roll out that beautiful riding tractor and go around and have a little fun, huh? Well, what's the standard for righteousness? It's Yahweh's law. It's not just some say, well, Jesus is the standard for righteousness. Well, what is Jesus? Who is he? What did he do? What would Yahweh do, but what did he do? We read that he kept the Feast of Tabernacles there in the book of John 7 and throughout the Word, from Matthew through the Revelation and the newer scriptures, we see the feasts and the Sabbath days being kept, and nowhere do we see or hear a warning to not keep them, unless we can twist Paul's words in the book of Galatians or 1 Corinthians 16 or somewhere and try to say that Paul was admonishing us to not keep the Sabbath anymore, that now it's an abomination, and that in contrast, that keeping the venerable day of the sun is the righteous thing to do, and the Sabbath thing is throwing dung on the finished offering of Yahweh, that he died for our sins. Well, he's not saying that. That's just listening to the world, the TV preachers out there. We think of the resurrection, 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth. Is that too hard to study it out? Matthew 28 verse 1. If you use the King James anyway, some of the other versions may wander away from the truth, but Matthew 28, 1, Matthew 12, 40, 3 nights and 3 days in the heart of the earth. What was that? One sly, silver-tongued minister said, well, as they carried Messiah's body towards the tomb, the sun went up and down as they were passing different hills, and the shadows were following him, so that it actually did make 3 nights and 3 days. But even though there was a period of 1.5 days from Friday to Sunday. Did I lose? Yeah, I'm sorry. No. three nights and 3 days. It's this simple of a formula. It was from the 14th to the 17th of that month, or through the 17th. Inclusively counting. So the 14th, 15th, that'll be 4 days if you're inclusive, but anyway, the night of the 14th, 15th, 16th, and 17th, right? Not right? Oh, okay. The night was already passed. They're into the day when Messiah was impaled. There we go. So we're still in the 14th. Yeah. So he died at the end of the 14th of that first month, and then you count three nights and 3 days, and that's just as simple as that. Except when I explain it, it always sometimes gets mixed up. Ephesians 2:15. Who wrote the book of love? Yahweh wrote it with his finger. Ephesians 2. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us. Wonderful to have you here on this beautiful day. For us, a beautiful Sabbath day, getting nice and cool out. Temperatures around 60 and partly cloudy. Having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even was added there, the word even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Here we are in Ephesians chapter 2, having abolished in his flesh the enmity against the law of commandments in ordinances. Take out that word, that added word contained, take it back out, and the word even and contained, and you might make some sense out of that passage there. Also paralleling with Romans 7:14 and 1 John 5:3. And in this, as we're here in the same chapter, down to verse 19, now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the believers and of the household of Yahweh. No, we're not strangers if we're grafted in to Yahweh, into the good olive tree. We think of the law of unmerited favor, or commonly called grace, faith, and love. They all go together. So that's Yahweh's standard for righteousness, is law, favor, faith, and love. Law is not the first factor there. Actually, unmerited favor is, followed by faith, and then love, which is the same thing as law, the law of love. Who wrote the book of love? Yahweh wrote it with his finger. Yahweh is the word. See, John chapter 1, verse 1. So he is the standard for righteousness. He tells us about the bill of divorcement. I keep referring to divorce and remarriage. I haven't really made a program on that yet. I didn't do a file, and I will do that, get around to it. But let's see, Mark 10:12, a bill of divorcement. Well, you're familiar with that. We don't need to dwell on that. But that links with Deuteronomy 22, and the Protestant minister will give you a couple of chapters after Deuteronomy 22. He'll give you 24. But the original understanding needs to emanate from Deuteronomy 22 and Luke 2 as well. I don't know why I'm having Luke 2 and oh, that was the case where Joseph thought that his betrothed wife had been in fornication. And so, in accordance with Deuteronomy 22, he found her not a maid because she was pregnant with our Messiah. So he was going to put her away quietly, being a good man as he was. So that's why Luke 2 is in your notes there. But meanwhile, the neo-evangelical says, I'll just have a little less than what that liberal over there is having at the counter. Just join the club, that easy formula for life. I'll just have a little less. Quoting Kevin Swanson of sermon audio, for look for Yahweh and his law and his standard. Well, I'm not going out boating on the Sabbath, I'll tell you that. I will not serve Baal. I will serve the Master, the King of Kings. But go ahead and go boating. And Yahweh gives you our world dictators, such as we have here in 2010. Oh, don't be judgmental. No, just let things continue downhill. Let's hear that silver-tongued minister tell us how wonderful we are. Well, we are if we allow Yahweh to make us that way, create his spirit-wrought righteousness in us. Ezekiel 36:26, the spirit and the law are not opposed to one another. Ezekiel, or Ezekiel, for some of you. Oh, looking at Jeremiah, I need to turn to the right. And we're turning. Whoop, I got to Lamentations, of course. And then Ezekiel. Yeah, there it is. And away up to 36:26. And kind of slowly turning there today. 36:26 says, and they ignore a lot of the, they only quote part of this. They quote the part that says, a new heart and a new spirit will I put within you. I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. And in verse 27, we just quit there. But if we continue, I will put my spirit within you. So that the new heart, the new spirit, the heart of flesh, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, those 212 regulations about our behavior, and you shall keep my judgments, part of those ordinances, those judgments, and do them. Part of the judgments are keeping the feast days. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. Oh, Yahweh, don't put me in that bondage of dwelling in the land, inheriting all the riches of Abraham and the promises of Abraham, rather, and the sure mercies of David. Then entering in by the gates of the city, the 12 gates of the city, being filled with the Spirit. Yes, please do fill me with your Spirit. I was led by the Spirit, someone says. John 17:17 says, thy word is truth. That's what settles it. Pilate asked the question, what is truth? John 17:17, Messiah answers, that Yahweh's word. He is the truth. Or is it that inner voice, that spirit, or circumstances, or feelings, or impressions, or hunches? Are those truth? Oh, coincidentally, they may or may not be. Or how about the idea of having a peace about it? Or having setting out a fleece, or having good fortune, or that Yahweh opens doors and other methods, as opposed to just listening to what his word says. We just read it here in Ezekiel 36, that, to put his spirit within us is to walk in his statutes and judgments. Not just his feast days, it entails so much more. The run-of-the-mill preacher could, and not to put him down at all, maybe I shouldn't even say that, but he could tell you a lot of other ways. You know, we want them to be scriptural ways, though, not just some sort of vague, broad thing that you can't even figure out whether it be right for me to do and it be wrong for you. Well, I was led by the Spirit, though. So was I? I was led by the Spirit to do the opposite of what your Spirit just told you to do, because I read the Word. He tells us to do this and that and keep the feasts. We can't set our own standards. Yahweh, His word, the word of Yahweh, the law is the standards. You know, I was led by the Spirit. All it takes is two Spirit-led people to disagree, and the whole concept falls apart. See Paul Vignano's sermon series from sermonaudio.com. Paul Vignano, and the spelling is in my website there. So instead of inner voices and hunches and open doors and fleeces and all that, that does happen in miraculous circumstances, but instead of that, we have the revelation, the 66 books of Yahweh. And the scriptures are, and I know that they're being judged by the world out there, is, well, this is just another thing that came along a couple of thousand years ago, they think, but they're wrong. Information on the internet and some places that Yahweh and the idea of Yahweh, or you know, Yahweh and the way of doing things according to the word, that was all concocted just not that many centuries ago. That information is false, because if you look at other material, you'll find, you know, many other materials, you'll find that it's true. that Yahweh is the truth. I mean, who put this nose on my face? Why didn't it wind up on my kneecap? Because there is Yahweh out there. Now, how could we ever evolve from a set of teeth? We couldn't have. The set wouldn't be there. Yahweh's word is the truth, or not the inner voice so much, but the inner voice of Yahweh tells us that His word is true. He confirms His word in us. So all of these other methods, can they give us the truth? No, the word is true, with no private interpretation. Yahweh's word says to repent of what? Some wrong impression or some broad impression or feeling or abstract thing out there. No, the Torah defines what sin is. 1 John chapter 3. And I didn't give you the verse on that on the site. So 1 John 3. I know you know it like the back of your hand, but then can we quote it? Let's see. I don't think it's... Oh, brother, I don't think it's verse 22. Verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresses also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. So the Torah defines what sin is. There it is. 1 John 3, verse 4. We have the pure spirit. Thy word is truth. And then we submit to His authority. We keep His feast days. What are the feasts about? They're all about Messiah. As we learn how we serve the Savior in the future, in the millennium. Millennium spelled... No. So we are here to praise and to pray to Yahweh. We're here at the feasts, at the Sabbath days. And we keep his name. His name is not about pronouncing His name most accurately, even though that would be honorable, you know, very a blessing to Yahweh to pronounce His name accurately. But that's not the most important factor here, and that's not the problem. It is about respecting Him and spelling His name and respecting Him enough to be accurate, not to disrespect Yahweh, and not to use a substitute title, or worse yet, a pagan name. Hebrews 2:12. I will declare thy name. Hebrews 2:12. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I sing praises unto thee. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 2:12. And we ask that you email us by hitting the contact button on yahweh.com. Yahweh, YAHVAH, not Yahweh.com, and the contact button there. And how about the pagan names and words, pagan words with Easter? That's a pagan name. We look to the book Come Out of Her, My People by C.J. Coster, and he has 300 references to back up the things that he says are true. And about the word Easter, he said that it was inappropriately used, or it shouldn't have been used instead of Passover in Acts 12:4. And then I have this marked out here in the dictionary. It had a pre-Christian origin or pre-believer, Hebrew believer's origin, namely a festival in honor of Eostre, or E-O-S-T-R-E. Now I'm not pronouncing it right, but Easter, a Teutonic dawn goddess. So we're talking about Messiah's resurrection and using the name of a dawn goddess. The Greek dawn goddess, this Eostre, was also known to be the spring goddess and the goddess of fertility. Some pastors will say, well, there's no connection. Okay, well, where's their proof? Maybe one of the other pastors, huh? Then they'll go to some other pastor whom they agree with. That I rely on his saying. Another form of sun worship, another variant in the form of a dawn deity, Easter was also called E-A-S-T-R-E. Yeah, there's three names here. They become fused with the true religion, the true faith, if you have a problem with the word religion. And he's got the footnote there, footnote 64. And this same 64, that's a lot of references to back up what we're aware of. The dawn goddess was also well known in the Greek classics, Homer. And, boy, there's just a wealth of information here. Most likely this Oster, dawn deity, fertility deity, is the same as Ashtarte, A-S-T-A-R-T-E, which is recorded in the Hebrew of the Old Testament, as Ashtaroth and Ashtoreth, the latter being changed because of deliberate Hebrew misvocalization. The name of Ashtarte was Ishtar in Nineveh. She was also known as the Queen of Heaven. I'll give you that reference again or see it on the website. Come out of her, my people. And I think that's comeoutofhermypeople.com. And giving and sharing, there's a lot of different places you can find that. And the author is C.J. Koster, K-O-S-T-E-R. And I don't know where Mr. Koster is in his walk right now. That doesn't affect these references that he did research on. 300 references. That's, you know, he must have studied all of his life for something to come up with that many. And German, French, you know, Dutch books, and English. Is your God Whoopi Goldberg? Well then, if not, stay away from the book The Shack that all the pastors are, not every one of them, but they are distributing. There's some good pastors out there. And remember, take good care of the temple of Yahweh, your body. What you do not put into it is very important. Time to take a break here. Oh, one more thing. Boycotting. That is your free choice to boycott or you purchase. Check up on companies such as Walt Disney and Disney World and Disneyland and things like that. One good reference is thetimothyplan.com. No, there's no article, T-H-E. It's just timothyplan.com. Click on the left there, the Hall of Shame. As a child, I always wanted to go to Disneyland. We, back in the 1950s, we went to amusement parks. But as a mature believer, why go there in the first place? We get obsessed with this idea of everything has to be amusing and entertaining, and we wind up, you know, not being very spiritual at anything. We don't have that hunger if we are wound up in the world looking after entertainment and media. And by supporting these sponsors, we are supporting immorality. So you might go there to timothyplan.com. They have a short list of 20 different businesses that support immoral behavior and other problems that is with them. And there's other websites. So, we'll take a break anyway and let some of you, maybe you got to go home and come back another day. So thanks for joining us again on Yahweh Not Yahweh. I am Stefan Yah. Shalom.